As long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic, he says, for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. Verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater, the more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For there is a will, for where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect, and this is talking about like a will that you have at death, for a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not only into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but he's also entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year without blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as is it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, why? Because that's already been dealt with, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Wow. What an awesome chapter that we see here. And we could spend many days and weeks here in this chapter. We're just going to have this one message on chapter 9 here. So picture what he's talking about here is he's referencing back to the Old Testament. Picture Mount Sinai. You remember at Mount Sinai, the thunder shakes the mountains, lightning flashes across the sky, the earth quakes beneath the voice of God. And you remember what happened with the people? They feared and they trembled and they said, "Moses, we can't hear that. We can't bear that. We can't even come before God. You pray for us to him." So the people of Israel